Good evening. This is our Good Friday service at First Baptist Church in Dunkirk. Let's just take a minute and pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, we honor your Son, Jesus Christ, tonight. We remember that he went to the cross to pay for our sins. We do not want to let these moments pass without fixing our minds on his great sacrifice for us. So we are grateful. We're grateful and we remember. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away. Let's sing it. Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ, torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life. Pay the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the table of the King. The blood that cleanses every stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, he drains death's cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a of our bonds of grace around the table of the King. And so with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. As we share in his suffering, we proclaim Christ will come again, and we'll join in the feast of heaven around the table of the King.
This evening, this Good Friday, Mark and I are here, and just a small band of brothers, as we are wanting to spend some time together this evening as a church family. And any of our visitors, guests that are joining us tonight, we welcome you also. We would all like to be remembered after we die. Some people go to elaborate expenses to be remembered well. They may put up a large monument. They may have a huge memorial service. They may make donations to charities, or perhaps even a building like a hospital with a wing in their name. In my family, before he died, my father passed on his father's gold pocket watch to my oldest brother, John. Being the youngest of three boys, I was grateful that there was still a pocket watch from my grandfather on my mom's side. I got my Papanoose's pocket watch, and anytime I wear that, I think about him. I remember the impact he had on my life. I remember his faith, and that's a fond memory of my grandfather. At funerals, we talk about the people that we loved. We talk about the family and friends that we got to know. We talk about the special times we spent with them. We talk about the things that we remember. Jesus wanted his friends, his followers, to remember him. And he chose a really unique memorial to do that. At the time he shared it, it probably seemed rather insignificant, but it turned out to be something that the world would never forget. Before his death, Jesus did not say, "Remember the parables I shared with you. Remember the deep message I preached on that mountaintop. Remember the amazing miracles I performed, or even when God spoke at my baptism." Jesus did not ask his disciples to hold a special commemoration service to remember any of these outstanding things. And if we think back about his life, that would have been some service, a supernatural birth, divine teachings, amazing miracles, being able to raise the very dead back to life again, his divine teachings, the times that he spoke with the religious leaders and they were dumbfounded. But instead, he simply took a piece of bread and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is how I want you to remember me." I want to share a few verses from Luke chapter 22 with you. "When the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' He took bread, unleavened bread." That was what they ate at the Passover. "He broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" This communion is the way Jesus wanted his followers and us today to continue to remember him. His body, the bread. His blood, the wine. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me."
My God would welcome me into this mystery. Say, "Take this bread, take this wine, now the simple made divine for any to receive." By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you, and remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you. See his body, his blood. Know that he has overcome every trial we will face. And none too lost to be saved, none too broken or ashamed, all are welcome in this place. By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you, and remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We respond to your invitation. We remember you.
Amen. On the night before he died, Jesus took his disciples to a private home where he had his last meal with them. But this was not just an ordinary meal. This was a very special occasion. It was the Passover. Just as they had done for centuries, the Jewish people of Israel were celebrating, they were commemorating the night that God delivered them from slavery at the hands of the Egyptians. It was a meal that looked back to God's faithfulness, to God's deliverance, to his love. But it also looked forward to a faith and to a future redemption that God had promised through the coming Messiah. It was a deliverance from sin's slavery, which could only be accomplished by a perfect sacrifice, a Savior. The Passover ceremony was really important, not only because of what it helped the Jews remember about God's past faithfulness, but because it prophesied the coming of the future, the Messiah who would come to change the world. This was truly the most deeply spiritual moment in the religious life of Israel. And this is what we see, and it would help them see this connection from the Old Testament to the Gospels to the New Testament. A familiar verse for all of us is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, equal with God, and yet human, emptied himself of his godness, and he became fully human while still remaining fully God, so that he could die on the cross in our place. If he had remained completely God, he would not have been able to die. But he took on human flesh, and he died on the cross in our place. God loved us so much that he sent his own Son to be the Passover sacrifice, to die for you and for me. We're going to sing about that love.
This is called Love Song.
heard it said that a man would climb a mountain just to be with the one he really loves. How many times has he broken that promise? It has never been done. I've never climbed the highest mountain, but I've walked the hill of Calvary just to be with you. I would do anything. There's no price I would not pay just to be with you. I would give anything. I would give my life away. Oh yeah. I've heard it said that a man would swim the ocean just to be with the one he really loves. But all those dreams are an empty emotion. It has never been done. I've never swam the deepest oceans, but I've walked upon the raging sea just to be with you. I would do anything. There's no price I would not pay just to be with you. I would give anything. I would give my life away. Yeah, yes. And I know that you don't understand the fullness of my love, how I died upon the cross for your sins. And I know that you don't realize how much that I gave you, but I promise I'd do it all again. Just to be with you, I've done everything. There's no price I did not pay just to be with you. I gave everything. Yes, I gave my life away. Oh yeah, I gave my life away. Just to be with you. Just to be with you. Just to be with you.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Centuries before this Passover meal that Jesus shared, the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. They were told to paint their doorposts with the blood of the Passover lamb. It would protect them from the angel of death who would fly through Egypt that evening. When the angel saw the blood on the doorposts, painted on top and on the sides, he would pass over that home. The people inside had done nothing other than trust God, trust His promise that this is the way you would be protected. And on that terrible evening, God brought judgment on the nation of Egypt. Every home that did not have blood on it lost their firstborn. The people of Israel ate this meal, and it was a picture of the prophecy of the blood of Calvary. The blood of Jesus from His head was on the top of the cross, and from His hands on the sides, and the blood dripped down that wood, just like those wooden door frames. The blood of the Lamb of God, the Passover, slain for the sins of the world. Now on this particular night, just before His crucifixion, while commemorating the feast as it had been done for generations by the devoted followers of God, Jesus inaugurated what we call the Lord's Supper, or communion. It was a family event, and Jesus had gathered with his family, his brothers, the men who had followed him as disciples for 3 years. And this is how he wanted them to remember him, as a willing sacrifice. He talked about his death days before this, letting them know that he would die and that in 3 days he would rise again. And now he's telling them that he was going to die. He was a willing sacrifice. His body would be broken. It would be beaten. It would be pierced through. It would be striped by whips. And his blood would pour out on that cross to take away their sins. If you have bread and you have a cup prepared this evening, we're going to take communion together as a body of believers. I'm back in the chapter 22 of Luke. Jesus said, or Luke wrote, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and he passed it to his disciples. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after they had eaten, he took the cup and he said, this cup is poured out for you. It's the new covenant in my blood. And take this and remember me. The Apostle Paul, giving instructions to the early church, said, as often as you eat this bread and as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's what this evening is about, this Good Friday. We remember his death. We remember his crucifixion, the day that the sun darkened over the entire world. The only time that Jesus cried out, not because of his pain, not because of the derision of the soldiers, it was because his Father had to look away from his Son because he carried the weight of our sins on him. And he cried out, Abba, Father, why have you forsaken me? And of course, God was right there all the time, but he had to turn away from the weight, the sin of the world that was laid on Jesus. He took that sin for you and for me. Galatians chapter 2 talks a little bit more about our Messiah and what he did for us. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then over to Galatians 6:14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul said, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Jesus, the Messiah, was chosen. He was sent by God the Father to offer his life to pay the penalty for our sins, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be righteous, so that we could be reconciled to the God who never stopped loving us. This was God's wonderful plan, the redemption plan that he established even before time began.
The wonderful cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of glory die. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his head, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Thorns compose so rich a crown. Oh, the wonderful cross! Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die, and find that I may truly live. Grace, draw near and bless your name.
This is how we remember Jesus 2,000 years later, for the sacrifice he made on the cross. The perfect God-man, without any fault, the spotless Lamb, the sinless sacrifice, the only possible sacrifice that could pay the penalty for the sins of the world. Jesus suffered, he bled, and he died for your sins and mine, so that we could be saved. All who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, will be redeemed from sin. They will be restored to a relationship with God the Father, who loves us, and we can have eternal life through Jesus, the one who defeated sin, death, and the grave. That is how we remember him tonight, and that is why we celebrate his resurrection on Easter this Sunday. I hope you'll join us Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for a time of praise, a time of worship, a time of finding hope in the resurrection. I'm so glad that you were here with us tonight. I feel like I was with you, even though we're seated across different tables. We're able to join our hearts together, brothers and sisters in Christ. The union that we share with each other is special because of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please pray with me, and then we'll close with a song. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for being willing to offer up your son as a sacrifice, just as you called Abraham to bring his son Isaac to an altar. You tested his faith and you made sure that he loved you more than anything and that he would trust you even to bring his son back from the dead. Father, as you offered your own son, Jesus, as a sacrifice, you knew that he would rise from the dead. You knew that he had the power over death, over sin, over the grave, and you knew that he would rise triumphant, breaking the chains of sin that have held people for so many centuries. I thank you for my salvation. Thank you, Lord, that we could commemorate Jesus' death on the cross this evening. May Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God the Father. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, through His Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Let's close with room at the cross for you. There's room.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. Its grace, so free, is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
It's been great to be with you. See you Sunday morning.